Welcome back to Bullseye on the Afternoon on AM 930 WEOL, taking you through a Friday afternoon and into your Friday evening. We will lead you into Cleveland Indians baseball tonight. The Indians beginning a three-game weekend series against the Detroit Tigers. Indians warm-up begins at 6:37, 7:10 for the first pitch. And one of the voices that you will hear on that Indians broadcast, Jim Rosenhaus, joining us right now. Rosie's appearances are brought to you by Erie Burger Company and the Avon Lake Town Center right off of Walker Road. If you go to if you go to Erie Burger Company, you can get a local grass-fed beef burger. You can also get a large lineup of sandwiches, fresh-cut fries as well, so make sure you head to Erie Burger Company. Rosie, a pleasure as always to have you on, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing good, Bull. How are you?
We are doing well, just hoping to do a couple of anti-rain dances to make sure that those storms stay away over the next couple of days here. But all in all, it's been a pretty peaceful week, a great week so far for the Tribe, a four-game winning streak. Over the weekend, they were able to avoid the sweep by winning on Sunday over the Twins and then, of course, busted out the broomsticks in that series against the White Sox. I know it's not a great year for the White Sox, but, Rosie, anytime you can sweep a divisional opponent to get back on the right track, to get yourself ready for a big weekend series like the one the Indians have coming up, it's got to put the Tribe in a very good mindset.
I think so, and you want to take advantage of the teams that are in a different spot than you are. The Indians obviously feel very strongly about being not only a playoff contender, but a World Series contender, and the White Sox are not in that place right now. They're in the rebuilding stages and trying to load up on prospects, which they've done a real nice job with, but with that comes some growing pains. And what happens occasionally is you get a good pitching performance or they play really good baseball like they did in Chicago last week and they ended up splitting that series. But the Indians played better this week and ended up sweeping the series here at home and quote, taking care of business, so to speak. And that's important. And so they played well, beat a team that they should beat, and I think that bodes well heading into this weekend.
No question about that. And I know that it's always, you know, you look at this time of year, you think, okay, it's way too early still to call these games big games or a big series. But really, I mean, you're playing three games against a team that's trailing you in the standings by five games. I mean, Detroit's really kind of hung around, and I don't think a lot of people expected them to be this close or to be the closest team to the Tribe in the standings in the Central Division, but you certainly applaud what they've been able to do so far because Detroit has certainly played shorthanded. You know, they don't have Miguel Cabrera. You know, the biggest dog that enters their fights, he'll be out the rest of the year also. It's got to be pretty impressive to watch this Detroit team, even though I think when we get to the finish line, the Indians will have this thing wrapped up with no problems. But, boy, Detroit is a team that just continues to fight, and you have to believe they're going to put up a pretty good fight this weekend.
Hey, you know, they're a really good story, and good for Ron Gardenhire, the new manager there, who's done some great work to put them in a good mindset and not go into the season when I think a lot of people said, well, here's a 100-loss team. You know, they have no chance to do much. And he said, no, we're going to play with who we have, and there's some good players here, and they're playing a style of baseball with good hustle and some good defense, better pitching than I think people gave them credit for, and it's added up to a team that has played better than a lot of people thought. In terms of it being a big series for the Indians, I don't think Terry Francona and the team looks at it like that yet. I think they're still at that point where they're trying to just have a better record. They feel that they haven't played as well as they should be. There's still some inconsistencies there, and they're still trying to work through that. So I think that's more their focus, you know, where they are in relation to the 500 mark and wins and losses and all that kind of stuff, as opposed to where they are in the standings. They recognize that, you know, the division has been really weak. They're the only team over 500. And you can, you know, you don't want to get lulled into sleep and start, you know, having your record slip. And then before you know it, you look up in August and you're really struggling and you might have a team in contention. So I think that's more how they're looking at it at this point, Bull, than opposed to the Tigers coming in X amount of games back.
Well, and it should be a fascinating series because I think you're right. you know, you don't want to get into a position where you become complacent. Not that anybody in baseball should ever become complacent, but when you get a large enough lead, sometimes you get the feeling that certainly could happen. And, you know, the Indians have sustained so many injuries throughout the course of the season that nobody on that roster can become complacent. And I guess we go right back to the outfield. Lonnie Chisenhall was playing extraordinarily well, and then there was some soreness in both calves the other day, and that forced him to be a lineup scratch, and Rajay Davis came in, filled in admirably. And, you know, Lonnie Chisenhall has looked so good, Rosie, since coming off the DL. You see any major changes in him? And with the calf strains the other day, was that just – was he kept out of the lineup as a precaution? And that's not something that's going to haunt him down the road, is it?
You know, I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, Bull. I haven't, you know, talked to anybody, and obviously yesterday an off day, and today haven't been down to the clubhouse yet. But I think they're hoping that it's just something precautionary, because really for Lonnie Chisenhall, he's kind of swung the bat the way he did in the first half a year ago when he had a really, really good first half. And you look at keys where the Indians struggled in the postseason, and yeah, there were some pitching issues for them, but you know, they missed Lonnie Chisenhall. They missed Michael Brantley. They weren't at 100%. Yet did they come back and, you know, were they available? Yes, but you know, I think for Lonnie, he's just picking up where he left off in the first half of last season when he was healthy, and that's really good. That's been a real positive for him.
Again, we're talking with Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our weekly Talks with Rosie brought to you by Erie Burger Company. Rosie, I think if there's one area where the Indians may have been able to sustain an injury, it would be in that starting rotation, which has been terrific from day one. Carlos Carrasco, of course, over the course of this past week, took one off the right arm, and you know, now he's been placed on the disabled list for 10 days. The expectation was that maybe he will miss a couple of weeks or a couple of starts. Have you guys gotten any more information on him? It sounded like the news was certainly much, much better than expected.
Well, they're still waiting for the swelling and inflammation to die down in that elbow before I think they can really put him on a plan, a throwing program to get back and take his turns in the rotation again. So I think it's going to be a little bit. We may know more today, but again, you know, as of Wednesday, there was still some inflammation and swelling in there, and that's the first step. They just want to get through that. Once that goes away, then they can figure out, you know, just how far he's dropped off and how much buildup he has to do to get the arm, make sure the elbow's sound, and get the arm back in shape to be an effective pitcher again.
And it certainly is something nice to have when a guy like that goes down, to know that you can go right back down to AAA, make a quick phone call, and get somebody up here to take his place the way Shane Bieber did on Sunday. He filled in admirably. He was outstanding on Sunday. Wait, Rosie, it's a lot of fun to watch a guy like that who is just a pure strike thrower, a guy that just pounds the zone.
It's something, isn't it? And I mean, the 18 walks in two seasons in the minor leagues heading into a start here on Sunday, which is crazy. But, you know, that's who he is, and that's who he's been throughout his college career when he really, you know, put himself on the map and made himself a higher round draft pick for the Indians. And it's allowed him to move quickly through the farm system. You know, they've challenged him. He's made every step in the farm system, which usually means a longer time in the minor leagues than it has been for him. You know, a kid drafted in 2016, here he is 2 years later, and he's made every step in the farm system, but he's been so good that they haven't had to leave him at any level for very long. And a lot of that is due to the ability to throw strikes. But it has to be more than that for any pitcher. It has to be quality strikes and the ability to set up hitters. And he, at least so far, he's shown the ability to do that. And this will be exciting to see how things go now as he gets some starts under his belt, the league learns him, and to see what adjustments he can make as that process takes place.
No question about that. Looking forward to seeing more of him. And obviously, you know, you never want to see anybody get hurt. But when guys get hurt, certainly seems like the Indians have taken full advantage with some of the guys that were able to step in, not necessarily into the rotation, but into the lineup as well. I mean, at the beginning of spring training, I'm not sure if many folks would have thought that Tyler Naquin would have carved out a spot in the outfield with the Tribe. But, boy, I know he was a guy we talked about, Rosie, as soon as that opening day roster was released. And we've said, boy, that's an interesting name to make the opening day roster. At the time, Michael Brantley was coming back from injury, so he wasn't on the roster. And we weren't quite sure how Tyler Naquin was going to fit. But, boy, you look at the numbers, Rosie. He's making a strong case that when everybody is healthy, if that ever happens in that outfield, Tyler Naquin is making a very, very strong case that he shouldn't be going anywhere. He's having an outstanding season.
I think so. And you know, you look at him, and he had the good season in 2016, that rookie year, and then nothing went right last year from an injury standpoint. And then when he did get to play, it just seemed like he was behind. And he went into this past off season with the idea that he would get back to the player he was in 16 and then take that a step further and be better. And he did a lot of hard work in terms of his hitting approach in the off season and then in spring training. And it's really paying off. And it was too bad that he got hurt for a little while, but it seems like he's come back and hasn't missed a beat, and that's really encouraging. So you're right, with some of the injuries in the outfield, it's been huge to have him available again, and I think you're right. I think he'll be a part of it for the foreseeable future.
This has been a lot of fun to watch these guys throughout the course of the year, and again, because it hasn't been one of those years where absolutely everything's going right. The Indians seem to be facing adversity in some form or fashion at the end of May and even into the beginning of June. We had talked extensively about the adversity the bullpen was going through. Rosie, that unit has been a lot better, and I feel like that's something that we said the last couple times we've had you on. You know, guys who hadn't been pitching well have kind of emerged, and they're starting to find some new pieces in there as well. I know we had talked about Oliver Perez a little bit last week and Neil Ramirez and the things that have made those guys better also. And you know, it makes such a big difference when you don't have a guy like Andrew Miller readily available. And I know the Tribe's going to take their time with him, and I think by all accounts they certainly should. Any new news on Andrew Miller? Any idea when we can expect him back?
You know, nothing really, which is kind of surprising. The last week has gone by with very little news or information about him. Other than on Wednesday, Tito said that he's progressing the way he should. He's continuing to build up, and the knee feels good. They're learning how to manage it and get him to a place where he can execute it and not have the knee impact that. But there's no sign of heading out on a rehab assignment yet. He certainly will. I mean, with each passing week, the longer he's out, that's evident that he'll need some time in game situations in the minor leagues, but we still haven't seen anything along those lines yet. So I wish I could tell you more, but there's just nothing there yet, other than to say that Terry Francona feels that things are positive from the standpoint of there haven't been any setbacks or anything like that. Things are positive, but they're just not moving at a pace where you can say he's going out on a rehab Sunday and he'll be back next Friday. They're not there at all.
Well, moving forward with the rotation, you know, still kind of waiting on word to see where Carlos Carrasco is with his injury. There's an off day next Thursday, right in the middle of that long road trip. What's the plan with the rotation moving forward? I know that there were plans of bringing Adam Plutko back out of the bullpen and into the rotation again and again, not knowing what's going on with Carlos Carrasco. Is that the plan moving forward, to keep Bieber in the rotation and also to put Adam Plutko back in there again with that built-in off day next week?
Yeah, that's the plan. Plutko is scheduled to go, unless something has changed here in the last 24 hours. He's scheduled to go Tuesday in St. Louis, so they'll plug him in, leave Bieber in the rotation, and then you have Kluber, Clevinger, and Bauer in the rotation as well. They wanted to split up Bieber and Plutko because their stuff is somewhat similar, so that's what they've been able to do here. They were kind of back-to-back there for a little bit, so they're trying to keep them in different spots in the rotation. So they feel like they've been able to do that here by slotting Plutko in on Tuesday, and then how it shakes down after the off day next Thursday, I'm not sure. They'll probably reevaluate after Wednesday night's game in St. Louis, but look for them to stay five-man rotation and maybe give everybody an extra day. I think they like to do that every once in a while, and they may try and take advantage of that now.
And is it safe to say that's probably something they'll want to do until we get to the All-Star break, which, boy, believe it or not, that's only about 3 weeks away.
I think so. I mean, there's your five guys, barring injury, that I think they're pleased with. And again, I just knowing the process and where Carrasco is right now, I'd be shocked if you saw him before the All-Star break. You know, I don't think there's a big rush to do that. They feel confident with who's there. So, yeah, I think you'd see those five through the All-Star break.
Good stuff. Well, Rosie, we know you're busy, so we always really do appreciate the time. Have some fun this weekend, and, boy, have some more fun on that road trip next week. That should be a fun one. St. Louis, Oakland, and Kansas City, three different cities over the course of about 2 weeks. It'll keep you busy for sure. But, Rosie, we always appreciate the time, and thank you so much. We'll do it again next week.
You got it, Andy. Thank you.
Thank you again. That's Jim Rosenhaus with the Cleveland Indians Radio Network. Our Talks with Rosie on a weekly basis are brought to you by Erie Burger Company in the Avon Lake Town Center, right off of Walker Road. Make sure you pay them a visit to get a burger made with local grass-fed beef. They've got a large lineup of sandwiches for you to choose from as well. Time for a break here on Bullseye on the Afternoon. Matt Douglas and I will come back with more after this on AM 930 WEOL.